Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Let's look at the combined numbers, the consolidated trades. December wheat in Kansas City, 873 down 17. May, 891 and a quarter down 22. December wheat in Chicago, 810 down 22 and three quarters. March, 824 and a half down 24 and a quarter. May, 836 and a half down 23 and three quarters, now down 24. December corn, 725 and three quarters, down one. July, 730 down one. December of 13, 631 and three quarters, down five. January soybeans, 1472 and a half, down two and a quarter. July, 1443 down eight and a half. November of 13, 1325 down nine and a half. December soybean meal, $4.54.40 up $2. December soybean oil, $50.19 down 64 cents. December live cattle, 125.62 and a half up 2.5. January feeder cattle, 150.40 up 62 and a half. December lean hogs, 81.70. They are down 45. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Dave.
Don't think anybody in the trade thought that USDA was going to come in with a world wheat number of 177 million metric tons.
Well, no, and you can tell by the way wheat's down 21 cents that they didn't believe that.
You can, and more to the point, when you look at the charts and you look at March 13 in Chicago, you can pick a point how much lower you can go. I mean, we went straight up. We broke the major support level.
Yeah, you know, this is definitely a move down that takes out support. It does open up the downside here. Is the reality of being open here a good one with the weather that we're facing and what we're looking at? That's the question that the market will tell us.
It doesn't appear that the marketplace has factored in any weather premium for weather conditions for winter wheat here, or has taken into account other numbers outside of USDA's numbers, which suggests that the world wheat carry is a lot smaller than what we got today.
Well, you know, this is a futures market. They're trying to anticipate things. And today, everybody was caught leaning the wrong way. Mm. And I imagine I haven't seen or looked closely at the volume, but I imagine it's as much lack of buyers as it is amount of sellers today in the wheat market.
Let's turn our attention to those other two pits, the corn pit and the soybean pit, where essentially off of USDA numbers, there's not a whole lot going on. USDA choosing to kick the can down the road in January.
You know, I mean, basically, I thought the corn number looked a little bit promising. We've been a little hard on the corn market the last few days, moved on down to levels that looked like, you know, we should maybe find support with the kind of number they threw at us. The one thing that surprised me a little bit was them leaving everything the same, that they lowered the on-farm price 20 cents in the corn, Dave. I guess that's maybe just to get us a little more competitive with the world market, the Brazil and Russian corn that's still out there.
Well, and you look at that, and I hate to keep going back to the wheat, but you look at Argentina world corn, they lowered that but didn't lower Argentina wheat. It doesn't make sense. It's the same growing area.
You would think that some of that should coincide, wouldn't you?
You would.
But, you know, I think it's the heaviness in the wheat, or I think the corn would be trading higher here right now. Mm-hmm. We've seen trading both sides. I considered that to be a number, and we should see higher close in the corn if the wheat doesn't get too heavy on us.
Well, yesterday everybody was buying spreads. They were buying wheat, buying soybeans and selling corn.
Yeah, and basically that was with the idea that we would see a decrease in the corn exports, a increase in the corn carryout, and a much bigger reduction because of the accelerated bean export pace that we're looking at. So, and we didn't see the big drop off in the corn exports, and we didn't see the big increase in the bean or the bean that's why, of course, I think that we're not seeing a lot of reaction that way today.
Okay, so the WASD is behind us. We'll be waiting for the January finals with anticipation, especially as it applies on the crop production side to acres and harvested acres. We all anticipate changes going on there. Between now and then, what does this market do?
Chops. It doesn't do a whole lot for us here, Dave. I mean, there's of course, now here again, we're going to take a look at money flow between now and the end of the year, whether our Congress can actually accomplish a deal that seems beneficial to the economy and growth out there. And we're going to be watching that along with the weather in South America, along with the weather here in the U.S. But basically, we're in a sideways, we're in a trading range. We've just widened it out a little bit on the way that we've taken things down over the last week. I mean, we're still, the bottom went just a little lower, but the top hasn't went any higher now until after Christmas.
And this is in corn and in soybeans.
Yes.
But however, wheat, could we see wheat go 808 or lower?
You know, that's a definite possibility here, Dave, but I think that after a sharp decline today, that wheat will probably take a little breather, too.
A little breather as well. So you brought up the fiscal cliff, and I'm asking all the analysts how they believe fiscal cliff, if it were to occur, impacts grain markets.
I don't think anything or money, if the fiscal cliff were to just, if we would jump off it, do nothing, I think that we see money flow into all sorts of things being restricted, and that, of course, would be a downward pressure on the markets.
But we're in uncharted territory, so to speak. It's hard to determine what the value of that. I mean, we know what a weather market is. We can kind of begin to sense, you know, the weather's doing this. It's worth X cents. In this fiscal cliff, can we quantify it in any way?
I sure can't. There's somebody smarter than me probably can, but, we don't really know or feel how things are going on with this whole thing. It might be a little bit of a washout that's the best thing that ever happened, or it might be something that's very disastrous. I think one of the things we'd love to see is the farm program or the farm bill be passed here before the end of the year to give us some stability to have a little bit of planning power as to know what's going on. There's so many things that if Congress doesn't act on them or how they do act on them, they can affect what is or isn't going to be a good price for corn and beans come this next fall.
When I'm a hedger, I'm taking on the role of a hedger, on-priced corn, on-priced soybeans, sitting in the bin, and I'm looking at this cliff potential. Do I do anything between now and the end of the year?
Most of the farmers that are sitting with grain in the bin will probably do nothing. We feel that if you have a very strong basis level, you should take care of that and probably re-own it with an option.
Thank you much.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in Newmarket, Indiana. By the way, if you have subscribed to our Ag e-newsletter, you've already gotten your mailbox all the numbers from the WASD, as well as the narrative from the WASDs. You've received the lockup briefing reports from USDA. You can be part of that, too. It's as simple as going to our website and signing up for our Aggie newsletter. Comes out once a week. It's as simple as going to willag.org, willag.org, and then clicking on the link in the right navigation window that says subscribe to the letter. That's as easy as it gets. Let's go ahead and look at the update for you in Chicago. December corn, 727 and 3/4 up 1. December 13, 633 down 3 and 3/4. January soybeans, 1474 and 1/4, now 3/4 unchanged. November 13, 1327, they're down 7.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.